And welcome back to the Funeral Cast. Another week, another Wednesday, which means we're back to talk probably a lot of rubbish, but attempt to entertain you with our thoughts and opinions on this week's chosen film. For those of you who have listened to one of these before, you're not hearing things. And as far as I'm aware, Stu hasn't gone through the change. But unfortunately, you're stuck with me, Countdown Kelly, doing your intro. Because when we all went out for a few drinks the other day, I lost the game of crazy golf. Only just. Steve did only just beat me, but I did lose. So doing the intro is my forfeit. That being said, I'm obviously not going to be on my own. And luckily for me, I think they all wanted me to do loads of intros. Everyone's here today. But if you're hoping for something amazing, I think you might be sorely disappointed. But anyway, I gave the intros a little bit of thought because I'm aware I've given Stu a lot of abuse in the past for never introducing me first. So I figured only the right thing to do would be to go to him to start with. But so I ignored that. Thought better of it. So Steve, our resident flump and watch tub expert, how are you?
First of all, I didn't only just beat you. That's a lie. That is a lie.
It's not a lie. You did only just beat me on the last hole. So it's a complete...
Yeah, but I nearly beat Stu on the last hole. So the game was up in the air. So whatever. But yes, I am your resident flump and what tub expert, which... Yeah, can't escape that, can I?
No. And how's your broken toe? Has that recovered yet?
Not really, no. It's still inflamed, but I haven't taken anything for it, so I don't moan about it.
Blimey, okay.
Only all night when we were out.
Yeah, but that was just because I needed an excuse.
Right, okay.
It's good to know for next time. Anyway, Neil, you've decided to grace us with your presence as well. How are you doing?
I'm all right, I'm very warm. But other than that, I'm fine.
You're suffering.
I am.
It's good to have you back. But last, but by no means least, the guy who never has an opinion unless he's actually done something. Stu.
Oh, yes.
How are you doing?
That's true.
Yeah. Here we go. Well, that got in really early on that one. Well done.
Nicely done. Yeah.
Is it though?
I couldn't forget that, could I, really?
No,
I've got a feeling that could come up and raise its fucking ugly head during the podcast.
Yeah. It might be a long night for you.
Yeah.
So there we go.
So if Stu's like got his specialties, what's mine and Stu's specialties? Because surely we must all have some sort of specialty.
Aren't you the vagina expert?
Vaginal expert.
Yep, sorry, okay. There you go. You've got yours. And to be honest with you, I don't know what Stu's expertise is because he hasn't done everything, so he hasn't got...
That is his expertise. If he does it, or if he watches it, he then has an opinion and can do it.
Oh, so he's like the Limitless. So if he takes the tablet...
Limitless is shit, so...
But you are Limitless. That is you, Stu.
I've got a Limitless card. That's about it. A brilliant intro, Kel. How was it?
Thank you very much.
How many hours sleep did you lose from doing that?
Fucking shitloads.
Oh, bless you.
I think we can all agree you did very well on that one.
Very much so. Round of applause to be inserted there, I think.
Exactly. A cue round of applause. But yes, well done. As you said, we are doing Beverly Hills Cop, which is on Netflix. But it's not just normal Beverly Hills Cop, the terrible third one, which apparently we're not allowed to talk about. It's Beverly Hills Cop, XLF, in brackets, Did We Ever Want It? So I think that's the question we're going to be talking or asking each other and everyone else who's listening. Did we really want Beverly Hills Cop XLF before this came out? Neil, Steve, Kel, was this something that, obviously, Kelly, you just recently acknowledged the invention of television and cinema, but Steve and Neil, when you watched Beverly Hills Cop, when we did the podcast, we're not going to do the third one, as I said, did you kind of think, like, fuck, why didn't they make it? What's Taggart doing? What's Rosewood doing now? Like, why didn't they do a spin-off? Did you ever think that? Did you want that?
No. I have to be honest. No, it's one of those things. You know, they did three. So they did the usual trio of films and it went downhill. And that was kind of it. But like Hollywood does, it just keeps bringing out stuff that was made 30 years ago.
Yeah, I completely agree. What about yourself, Steve?
I mean, I don't really remember much of Beverly Hills growing up because it was released when I was quite young. So it wasn't anything I ever felt like I needed. It kind of went under the radar. I just saw it pop up one day and I was like, oh, so that's a thing.
Oh my God, were you talking about Beverly Hills Cop 6 or the discovery of your penis when you were younger? What were you talking about now?
I mean, they both have had similar reactions. I guess this is it.
This is what you got to work with.
Yeah, that's not gonna get any better, is it?
What a disappointment.
Oh, such a lovely windsock you have though, Steve.
I give it a 1 out of 5.
We are talking penises now, yeah?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. I mean, I think when we've done a lot of films like Jaws and other kind of old great films like American Werewolf in London, things like that, you watch them again, there is nostalgia. And it's difficult when we talk about this. You think, yeah, I'll give it an extra point because they are just such great timeless films. The difficult way I found with this just made me sad, to be honest, when I watched it. I fucking struggled staying awake. I will play my hand early. It's not great. But I didn't like seeing Taggart so old, Paul Reiser so old, Judge Reinhold so old. I loved it when they were younger and the memories then. I didn't want to see him now. I'm not fucking interested. Eddie Murphy, I thought, has not made any great films lately. Great voice actor, but he's not Axel F anymore, is he?
Well, he tried.
He
did try, bless him, and they tried bringing back some old ways of the old Beverly Hill Cop, but whether it worked or not, we will discuss.
Exactly,
I'm sure.
Very true. But they have injected Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer in this to try and kind of add to the action. I mean, when I saw this and I saw that name come up, I thought, this is going to have some slow motions in it. It's really got to, because that's what they do when you look at most of their films, especially the Bad Boys. I mean, you get the slow-mos from getting out of the cars in those. They fucking love that, don't they?
Oh, they do. Yeah. Look at us getting out of our massively overly expensive car.
I know.
And looking badass.
Yeah, it does your fucking head in, to be honest. But we can't do a budget on this because, funny enough, it didn't go to the cinema. And that's the question. Why didn't this go to the cinema? And when you look at, I'm going to get beasted for this, and I don't give a shit. Initially, all of those years back, many, many a time ago, there once was a film called Top Gun. Then they waited a number of years because the fans were crying out for it. And it wasn't going to be released at the cinema first of all. Then they did. And then boom, $1 billion later, bang. Why didn't this film ever come out of the cinema?
I guess because they signed a contract with Netflix to make it.
But do you think that's a cowardly thing to do?
Not really.
It's a safe thing, isn't it? If you sign straight up and you know what your returns are going to be, whereas if you go to the box office, you've always got that, are we going to bomb or are we going to do well? So I guess it's a safer option. I mean, Shepperton Studios, I don't know if you've all seen it recently, has expanded to the point where Netflix has its own part of that studios now.
That's cool.
That's how big streaming is coming now.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's the big thing now, isn't it? They all do it. Cinema's sort of old school, isn't it, when you really think about it? I can't remember the last time I went to the cinema because it's so much easier just to sit at home and watch something on Netflix.
Yeah, but I prefer to go to the cinema and get wanked off as opposed to sitting at home and getting wanked off.
You talking solo?
Does that happen
or
often?
It's literally never happened, but a man can try.
We've not been together for a while though, Steve, have we?
No, and literally I'm using the same bucket of popcorn every time and it's starting to get too salty.
Yeah. You two could just wank each other off.
I'm not going to lie, I do have my age limits.
Oh,
wow.
Wow. Blimey.
I just don't know that Stu would be my type. No offense.
Stu, I will go to the cinema and we can wake each other off.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I think you're a beautiful man.
You're a very kind person. I didn't think Steve
could be...
I'll be
watching you from the row behind, jealous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. You didn't think Steve was in a position where he could actually be picky, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, well, I'll just keep looking around at him and giving the eye and saying, look what you're missing out on.
Yeah,
actually, yeah. I want full-on eye contact.
No problem.
You'll get it. Yeah, you'll get it. Whilst I'm popping another Viagra, I'll try and keep it up. I'll make eye contact.
You won't need that with me, mate. You won't need that with me. It's all good.
Amazing. I bet it is. I bet it is. But the cast in this film, back to it. We've got Eddie Murphy, again, returning as Axel Foley. initially, when he first hit our screens in 1984, funnily enough, in 1984, when this was out of the cinema, that you had Ghostbusters, you had Footloose, you had Raiders of the Lost Ark, all come out at the same time. And all of those films have either had kind of reboots, like Footloose did, which bombed completely, funnily enough, starring Kevin Bacon. And it kind of goes around, it's like a massive cycle of no idea. And it's strange that some things, like Ghostbusters, like Frozen Empire, I think it was called, is still doing well and can still bring the crowds in all of those years later, where some things like Axel F and Beverly Hills Cop, and even struggling, I'd put Raiders of the Lost Ark in that bracket, are struggling to gain any interest from fans. I mean, I don't really want and need another Raiders of the Lost Ark for sure. I don't know if you guys are massive fans of that.
No, and we can't discount the fact that they already tried to reboot Ghostbusters once, didn't they?
Yeah, that was terrible. It wasn't because it was an all-female cast. It was just because the story and everything was shite.
It was just awful. And the problem is, with most of them, they try and use the main characters from the originals in the remakes 30 years later, and it doesn't work. With the good thing with Ghostbusters is it's a new cast, isn't it? And then you just add in the old characters as a bit of like, look at there they are, and people get excited about it.
Yeah, so, and that even includes kids, when I normally fucking hate children, so that says something. But as I say, Axel Foley, and you've got James Gordon-Levitt playing Detective Bobby Abbott. He never made that. I mean, he always comes back as being the Robin wannabe from the Batman films, doesn't he? He was so close. I was a bit disappointed that he wasn't, because I like this actor. I think he's really good, and he's not in enough films. I think he's got quite a presence. I don't know what you guys think.
I remember him from Third Rock from the Sun when I was a kid. That's like the big one I remember him from. He was also in, was it G.I. Joe? He played the bad guy when they did that with Channing Tatum.
Yeah, I must be. I'll try and block those out of my mind.
A bad example to use of a film?
Yeah, I'd say it wasn't the best example you probably could have used for him.
Well, I'm not going to talk about that shitty Batman film, am I?
Oh, yeah, you don't like that Batman film, do you?
No, it's crap.
To be fair, it is the worst one out of the three they did.
Yeah, it is. Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah, it's
not great.
I liked Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I think he's great. Oh, he was in Looper as well. That was a strange film.
Bruce Willis. Weird, wasn't it? Bruce Willis.
Yeah, because he looked like they did so much prosthetics on him that he actually looked like Bruce Willis.
Yeah, it was a strange one. It's quite entertaining, good action, but yeah, it's a weird film. So, but we've got the returning Judge Reinhold as Billy Rosewood. We've got John Ashton as this time returned as Chief John Taggart. And Paul Reiser returning as, and again, he's Chief. How come Jeffrey made it as Chief? No one ever thought that would come in. And a new character, a daughter of Axel Foley, is Jane Saunders, played by Tyler Page. And someone who is always a baddie. It's never a secret. You can't cast him as, is he bad or is he not? Kevin Bacon as Cade Grant. And Serge is returning, Bronson Pinner. And I really, again, loved him in the first one. I thought he was really quirky, really funny. And another character of, did we really want him back? Because it's like, yeah, let's get the band together, but why? And nostalgia is just killing this. And the start of this film is exactly the same as the first one, really, to a certain extent. But it's when he's driving around Beverly Hills, looking around laughing. And we do get that scene recreated. It's kind of an older Axel Foley. He's 60-odd years old. Would he still be in the streets kind of hitting it hard? I don't know. I just think it's outdated, really. It's got the same blue car as he did in the original one. But they've got the same music playing, haven't they?
Yeah, but most films do that, don't they? Top Gun did it. They all do it because that's the nostalgia, isn't it? And they try and make you go back to remember what the original was.
And at
you
the start just hate of this film. I just hate this film.
Yeah.
No. I mean, there's some good bits. I'm not going to hate on this film. Honestly, I'm not going to hate on this. The intro to this, it always starts off with an action scene. And it's very reminiscent to the first one. They do hit the same kind of a heartbeat as the first one when they were at a hockey game. And you find out that these people are going to break into the stadium and there's going to be a heist. But they're nicking from the change room and the hockey players. And I've got to admit, on the first one, when Eddie Murphy did his kind of accents and did his like voices and took the piss and stuff like that, I loved it. When he went into Beverly Hills Hotel and said he was from Rolling Stones magazine, I think it was. It was all good fun. It was all original, and it was very much from like Delirious. But I just don't think he can do that now. And when he walks into the dressing room and all of those guys are nicking stuff and he's pretending to be a goalie and just doing the voices, for me, it's just like he's done it before but better, and I want something different. I don't know where you guys are on this.
Hey, where's my gear? Coach want to put me in the third period. Who the fuck are you? Who the fuck am I? Who the fuck are you? You must not have got the memo, nigga. You didn't hear about the Winnipeg trade? I'm the new man up in this bitch.
Get your ass on the fucking floor, man.
Hey, motherfucker, let me tell you something. I am a 5-time recipient of the Stanley Cup, and I don't appreciate no motherfucker putting no guns in my face. I just want my goalie pass. Get my goalie pass!
You think this a fucking game? This ain't no fucking joke!
Easy.
Didn't bother me at all, to be honest. He's playing Axel Foley. That's what he does.
I actually thought this bit was kind of good, given that you're referring it back to the first film because it ties it all in together. So I didn't mind it at all.
Okay, and then what the chase from this, when everyone gets away, and very reminiscent of the second one when he's in that big lorry, and it's from the jewelry or the bank heist. What did you think of the chase then, Kels? What was that?
I found that a bit irritating because it's just ridiculous. The guy is still like starstruck. The one he got the tickets with is still starstruck, and he doesn't kind of get over that, and it just goes from one ridiculous decision to another, and there's just no way. It's just too much, too soon, and just ridiculous.
Neil, Steve.
Steve, what did you think, mate?
About the car chase or the
car chase in the lorry with his other detective mate.
Fucking ridiculous, isn't it? Like anything's going to outrun a bin lorry. It was too 80s, 90s of when car chases were always very even. Like everyone now is going to look at it realistically and say that's never going to happen. And I think that's how we've all probably looked at it and gone, yeah, this is stupid.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. Goes on for too long. And it's, just bends all reasonable belief. So, yeah.
It does. And I think destruction as well. There needs to be action, and there's always going to be action in the initial chase because it sets the scene and, like, the heartbeat of the film. But there was just too much kind of unwanted destruction chasing these bandits on the quad bike. And you've got Jeffrey, who's a chief, who's not surprised that Foley's knee-deep in shit. But it's just been done better in the same franchise. And going through the car lot, yeah, as a spectacle, it looks great when he's smashing those cars. But I know it's, you kind of all suspend belief, but it was just too much.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't go through and cause that much fucking damage and still expect to keep your job at the end of the day. And the chief just roll his eyes and go, oh, God, I'm going to have the mayor on my ass for this. It's
okay, getting a little outside my comfort zone, Astro. Maybe we don't hit so many cars, okay?
It's time to solidify that promotion, mate.
It's been done before and much better in it. In this franchise as well, that's the trouble.
Yeah. Sadly, they haven't moved on with that, have they? They haven't tried to be clever with it. They've gone slam back into 1990, whatever it was, 1994 with it. And it's sad, really, that they didn't have a different idea for it.
And it's strange because out of all of this, after the chase, because of the fucking destruction, that the chief, he quits. Because he doesn't want Foley to get in shit. And I know he wants to go anyway and spend time with his family, like he says. But it's really strange that he quits so Foley doesn't get the heat. I didn't quite understand that, Steve. Did you?
No. Foley seems to be like a kind of unchallenged cop. Like, again, realistically, he's not going to be able to do half of the things he does and keeps his job. It's a very stupid move.
Yeah, it's just, it goes beyond belief. I want Foley to be in shit. Even if Foley was a private eye, I know it's Beverly Hills Cop, but he can't keep his fucking job all the time. And you just think, I'm sick of this. He's 60 years old and it's just, it's unbelievable. But it then does go on to the main plot of this film, where we were introduced, as I spoke earlier, to Jane Saunders. That is the daughter of Axel Foley. She changed her name because they got a kind of a very strained relationship. And we learned that she's a lawyer and she's representing, she's a defense lawyer, a guy who allegedly, and we say allegedly, this is what the main plot is about, which I actually haven't even done.
I'm slipping.
I think it's the breakdown of the routine of Countdown doing the intro. I will do the plot in a second. Actually, should I do it now, guys?
Yeah, do it now. Go on.
Then we can actually get into it. So, we've even spoken about the intro, so here is the plot. So, 40 years after the original Beverly Hills Cop in 1984, Detective Foley is up to his usual tricks again. Oh my God. When he meets up with Billy Rosewood, who is now a private investigator and longtime friend, and he contacts him for help. Foley's daughter, Jane Saunders, is a lawyer involved in a high-profile case which has been threatened. And she's been threatened by many, many gangs, which is quite hard to keep up with. But Foley sets off to Los Angeles, finds himself in the middle of a sinister but predictable conspiracy involving lots of baddies, including Kevin Bacon, who is he, isn't he? Of course he is, because he's in the film and he's got that stupid smile on his face. So you know that he's a baddie. And he tries to get out of trouble and Foley escapes as usual. But he doesn't have that stupid laugh in this, does he?
No, actually, that's a good point. He doesn't have his laugh, which is a shame.
Yeah, and that's a natural laugh that he did in the first one. And he kind of did that, then realised that people were laughing at his laugh. And when I was watching a few interviews on this, he said that he was out just like a supermarket and somebody walked up to him and asked him if the laugh was kind of special effects, kind of CGI'd or whatever you want to call it, audio effects onto him. Because it's not a natural laugh, and he didn't realise that this laugh made so much of his character. But he says he's really too old to laugh like that now, which is strange. I wonder if my laugh will change.
I don't know, maybe.
I don't laugh that much, so maybe I won't even know.
Potentially.
Yeah, I thought I'd say it before one of you fuckers did.
Harsh, but fair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, yeah. Again, I thought I'd say it before one of you fuckers did.
Made you laugh, though, didn't it? There you go.
It did. Now it got it on tape. Or tape. Oh, my God, I show my age.
Oh.
Steve, you can get with another dig now, can't you?
No, I'm better than that.
No, you're
not. Are you?
Did you not get enough of the age comments on Friday?
Yeah, I got a few in then, didn't I? Yeah.
Did you? I didn't know that.
Did you not?
No. Have you forgotten already?
Yeah. That's the joy of being old. Was it a good night?
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, apart from when you pissed yourself.
Yeah,
who does that?
I know, I did warn you it would happen, but you were all toilet monitors and had to take me, so clearly I put the blame onto you.
Fair enough.
Thank you very much. But we do learn that Jane Saunders, as I said earlier, defence lawyer, representing Sam Enrique, who was a police officer who, whilst on duty as part of an operation, found himself next to a dead colleague. And he's really taking the blame for that. And she's representing, believing that there is more to it. And she's been working on this case for a while. And she gets loads of shit for this. And she's hated by the police, isn't she, because of this. And what do you think of the chemistry? She's not yet met Foley. But what do you think of the chemistry?
I don't think she's that particularly good of an actor, actress, however you want to refer to them. It just didn't feel very natural. It didn't feel very fluid. I mean, it makes you very aware that you are watching a movie.
Yeah, because you're watching Netflix.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much.
Oh, dear.
Neil, do you get what I mean?
Yeah, well, yeah, but I have to say that I didn't think she was that bad. I thought their chemistry was all right. It grew as the film went on.
Yeah, yeah.
In my opinion.
Got better. Yeah. But I think that was probably the whole boundaries being broken down and him being a good dad again.
Exactly.
So maybe that's what it was.
Maybe. But no, I didn't mind their performance at all, to be honest. I thought it was quite good.
What about yourself, Cal?
I found it very predictable. I didn't mind it. I didn't think it was horrendous, but I just, the way it all develops and their relationship goes from really, really shite to getting there and then really, really good is just very predictable. And you just know at some point he's going to do what he does at the end. And it's disappointing storyline.
Oh, yeah, I agree with the storyline's disappointing. I think, as you said, think Steve and Neil, you kind of warm to her and it warms up as the relationship goes along. And I think the more time she's spent on screen. But I do like that after she's met Enrique, that those guys come out and they just push her off the side of the multi-story car park after warning her to drop the case. And obviously there's a lot more going on, which would explain as the story goes on. But I thought that was pretty good action. I actually enjoyed that. And that's when it brings Rosewood into it, of once she's rescued. And I know Steve will kind of vouch for this, that we all age. But Jesus Christ, I mean, Judge Reinhold, this is the first thing he's been in for about 6 years. He doesn't age that well, does he?
Mm-mm. He looks horrendous.
Yep.
Is it work done? Or is it just probably not expecting to be on TV again? I don't know.
Work, drugs, who knows? It just... And his acting in this is terrible. I don't know if anyone else thought that, but I thought his acting was fucking awful in this film.
Yeah, I didn't really warm to him. That's the thing with nostalgia. The only time I warm to him is when he's with Taggart, because it's just that, and it is only based on nostalgia of, yeah, that's great. The old team, they bring back so many memories and laughs that I've had. And at the end of it, when they're in the car, and Foley jumps in the back of the car. And again, it's just based on nostalgia. I love that chemistry they've got. And it's the band back together. But apart from that, I mean, he's hardly in it. So there must be a reason why they decided, right, you could be fucking kidnapped and spend two-thirds of the film kind of people ringing you up and trying to find you and not actually being in it. I wonder if that was the reason, you know?
Potentially. And I can't agree with you with the chemistry either. I thought they're so old and wooden now. That I thought it was nice that they tried to do it, but I didn't think it worked at all.
Yeah, it does. I think that really hits home when you see John Ashton, who plays Taggart. I mean, his fucking face looked up like a screwed up paper bag, didn't it? It's so bad. There's no way, if they were going to go realistically, that this guy would ever be back serving. I know he kind of does it because he hates being at home. That's part of his character, but... There's no way he'd be working, is there?
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't be. But it's just, I thought those two from the original cast, just their acting was just poor, to be honest. And especially when they were together, it was nice to see them together. I just didn't think the acting was brilliant. It didn't really hit it home like you got your feelings towards it, for me personally.
Yeah, but I think that's when, as I was saying, Steve, that it makes you kind of feel a bit sad in a way, because when you go back and you see how young they were and the laughs and how original and that the films were great. And when you see it now, you think, I wish they weren't back together for this reason, you know?
Yeah, I imagine it's probably pretty scary as well to think, shit, I am so closer to death than I was when it first came
to me now, he's talking about the film.
Just a bit of everything. Like, you think, it's when you see, you know, when you... grow up with like an actor and that actor was like always in everything and then they die, you're like, oh my god, bloody hell. But like Eddie Murphy's pushing it a bit now. He doesn't look like he's in the best shape. That judge bloke, he looks like he's on his last legs. Taggart is probably last few days. So it's sad, because you're like, shit, they have really tried and all they've done is make me realize how precious time is. And I've wasted it by watching Beverly Hills Cop Axel Foley.
I think how I feel, you know what I mean? I'm closer to death than I am anything else.
Yeah, this is what I was getting at. I just wanted to be polite.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you. Yeah. I did know that. I just thought I'd help you out.
Thank you.
Kind of that fact of what I've just said is probably no truer than when I'm in the car and Kelly's driving. So I feel that every single day.
Is Kel a bad driver?
I'm not going to comment on that, but that's the way I feel a lot of the time.
Fuck you.
Kelly drives like Axel Foley in the opening scene.
Yeah. But not on purpose.
That kind of comes naturally.
Yeah, exactly. But never mind. But we do learn that Rosewood, private investigator, or would any of you guys be a private investigator? It's so wanky, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think I'd be very good at it. I'm not very subtle.
Yeah, I don't have the minerals. Someone's written poo on my locker at work and I still haven't figured out who's done it.
Really? Even though I put my name below it?
Haven't found that one yet, so clearly I'm still not that good of an investigator.
I'll write it again, mate. But we learn that Rosewood has bugged a car that this crime syndicate are using, and it's all links in with this the death of this police officer, and that this guy who is in prison, Enriquez, that he is innocent. And as usual in these films, it goes right up to the top, and we can all see it as the audience, and it's fucking as plain as day. But funnily enough, the people who matter, the police officers, the not corrupt ones, they can't see it. And Judge Reinhold goes to the docks where there's a massive drug deal taking place. And that's really, he's not in it again. And this is kind of around in like the 20 minute mark. And he doesn't appear until like about an hour and 30 minutes or kind of maybe a little bit less than that. But this film is an hour and, is it an hour and 59, 2 hours long?
Just under 2 hours, yeah.
So as I said earlier, it's a big old chunk out of the film. And due to what's happened to Jane, that this is what brings him. This is the trigger of what brings Axel Foley to go and help his daughter out. And when the baddies do capture, when you first watch this, the baddies do capture Rosewood at the docks. I've got to be honest, I wouldn't have given a shit that if he would have turned up dead during the film at some point in like a being dragged out the dock. Would you guys?
Maybe be a bit too dark for the tone of the film, I reckon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, fair enough. I just really wouldn't have minded, I've got to be honest. And again, they do the callback to when he does arrive in Beverly Hills, when he's driving the car and he looks at all of these fucking weird, extremely rich people feeding their dog sushi and just doing strange things, guys wearing the makeup, and it's a strange thing. But when you look, Stephen Berkoff, who played Victor Maitland in the first one, is actually shown as doing a cameo in this, which I really like, talking about getting the gang back together.
Yeah, they got a few people in, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah, it was good. It was very strange. But again, this wasn't needed. They did not need to do this. For everyone who's seen it, you've seen Beverly Hills, what it looks like, and the weird people. They even redo the scene with that woman walking the dog. It just wasn't fucking needed. It was just nonsense. I was getting quite worried by this point when I was watching this film of just how many callbacks they're going
to
do.
Didn't bother me at all, really. It seems to have bothered you a lot more.
I'm going to be shot down, I should imagine. He goes to Rosewood's office because he can't get hold of him, and he's a private investigator. When he goes there, it's being kind of broken into and turned over, as they say, the terminology, by these two goons. And he does his accent, or he does an act of, I'm part of the gang, and so-and-so said that I should come up here and hurry you up.
What the hell is taking so goddamn long? What are you staring at? What is this, a union job? Well, we don't give OSHA breaks here. Move, bitch!
Who sent you up here?
Who the hell do you think?
Beck?
No, LeBron James. Yes, Beck! Look, he's been riding my ass about this shit, so I'm gonna ride y'all's ass. Y'all know how the motherfucker gets.
Definitely do.
Bullshit.
I know he's got to do this because he can't have a fight. He's too old. He can't take these guys on. For me, it was just another bit of repetition of what he's done before. But I don't know how they could have done it any other way apart from go to the office where there's no one there and find some information, or it's just been ransacked. I didn't want a kind of a nod to everything, every scene that was, and it gets the same in different films as well when they do that. Mm. Kind of, it's like, oh, they did this and that one, they did that one. I found that this was kind of, the repetition was so much. And it got like the Rambo knife from, and had the Rambo poster from the original one. So again, they did have different kind of nods to Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2. And I kind of laughed. I thought, yep, these two guys are stupid, but are they that stupid that they're going to believe that this black guy suddenly walks in with a Detroit top on and this mean stuff over in America and they're going to believe it? It just, for me, it was like, fuck's sake, why is everyone so stupid just for the sake of a joke?
I can't disagree with you, to be honest. But I guess they're just trying to recreate, aren't they? That's the whole point of this film. They're just trying to recreate something that was 30 years ago, and they've really hit hard, haven't they, on just keeping it exactly the same, as close as possible.
Which... That's really fucking sad, though, isn't it, in a way, when we can do a film and why don't we do a lot of the jokes they liked in the original? And surely Eddie Murphy doesn't need a fucking payday that much. I mean, I can understand the others, but...
Oh, I know. I guess the only way I could think of it, when you're the way you're saying it, is the fact that maybe they're just trying to bring younger people into it, so they're modernising it. Because if you showed it from 1994, that's really dated now, isn't it? Whereas everything now is shiny and new. It's from 2023, 2024. So it's bringing younger people into this franchise, or trying to, anyway.
Yeah, I don't
that's
think
the only way I can think of it.
Yeah, I mean, Steve probably is the best person to ask this, otherwise he's kind of quite ageist. I don't think people want to see a 60-odd-year-old being chased and jumping in cars and doing jokes, though, Steve, do they?
I don't think so, no. I think, again, this is just a film that's really banking on nostalgia. It's something that a lot of franchises are doing, aren't they? They're trying to bring back that generation, say, look, we can still make films for you. Don't we haven't forgotten about you. Come have a look.
Yeah, and I think he suffered, especially when he went to the Meet and Maid girl and he wanted to steal her car, which they're so slow. I mean, I imagine they're battery powered. The jokes didn't work. It was outdated. And are you really going to use this as a fucking getaway car when you've got serious mercenaries who are after you, who you know are going to kill you? Why are you going to jump in this? I didn't really understand the humour, did you, Cal?
Meet a lady. Hey, meet a lady. No. I have an emergency. Can you move your buggy, please?
Lady? Yeah, okay. Well, why don't you just wait on the sidewalk, man?
There he is. Get him!
What the hell you think you're doing? You don't get out of my car, or you gonna learn today.
I'm a police officer.
I got 415 in progress, male. Possibly psychotic.
Stop it! You ain't even got used that much!
No, I didn't like this. It annoyed me just like the other one, because you could probably run quicker than this stupid thing. It made no sense. I get they were trying to be funny, but it just fell flat for me. It was just ridiculous. It goes too far, and then you just think, well, that's not entertaining anymore. It didn't need it. It was just too much.
Completely agree. It was shit. It was stupid.
And it was done. It was a weird way of doing it, because again, when the police turn up, it was very much like when he went to go into Victor Maitland's office and got thrown out, and the police turn up too late, and he makes that joke, and they're kind of I don't know if they used two women on purpose because it was two guys last time. I really don't know, but I think the only difference was that everyone was filming it like they do this that day and age, no matter what the emergency, when they weren't doing it last time. So it showed the difference between now and then, but it was only reminiscing and a plot driver to get him to the police station where he meets Detective Bobby Abbott, who obviously, as I said earlier, is James Gordon-Levitt. And it's just very tropey that this person happens to be the one who is dating his daughter of all the people he could speak to. How about that, guys? Hey, would you believe it?
Oh, no, I talk about fate.
I know, it's strange. Yeah. And they might even team up later on.
God, do you reckon?
Yeah, I know, it's strange. One thing I did like was the reference. I was talking about being kind of self-referential. Some films do it well. Deadpool does it brilliantly. It takes the piss out of itself and many, many other things. But when Levitt goes through the file and he talks about, I've looked at your case, 84, 94, and when he says 94 wasn't your finest hour, referring to Beverly Hills Cop 3, because that was acknowledged everywhere as an absolute disaster. I quite like that. I thought that was, for those kind of who know what a bomb the film was and was disappointed, it was quite a nice reference, wasn't it?
Oh, it's nice that they can acknowledge that themselves rather than just missing it out completely. So, yeah, I think so.
It was good. This is when he introduces, or he wants to see Taggart, and they hint that Levitt was used to be he wasn't obviously a fucking helicopter pilot, which I'm going to get rinsed about later on, and I'm just preparing myself for that. But Taggart is chief. And I was, when I first watched this, I was fucking so surprised. I was really surprised that this guy just looks fucking terrible. It just, yeah, I wasn't very happy. It just, some people should take a bow out and this guy should have taken a massive fucking bow. And I struggled with the back and forth of the initial conversation of when I think it's his daughter who bails him out of jail.
Yeah.
And I just thought, she does. Fuck, this is going to be hard work. This really, really is. And thankfully, it does warm up. But that's when he looks at both of them. And I quite like the banter when he looks at them being James Gordon-Levitt and his daughter. Instantly, you can tell something's gone on. That would be really fucking awkward, wouldn't it?
Yeah, have you had intercourse or something like that, he says, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Which is a really weird way of saying it.
Yeah, you can't hide that awkwardness, can you?
No, but the fact is, you know, he's estranged. What's it fucking matter, you know?
Yeah, you lost that right.
None of your fucking business, old man, sort of thing.
But... Is it ever, even if he wasn't estranged?
Exactly.
Is it really ever any of his business?
No, you're probably not wrong.
No, she's an adult. She can do exactly what she wants and be into whatever she wants. It doesn't make a difference.
Exactly.
And when we're introduced to John Ashton, and in the office is Kevin Bacon, who plays Captain Cade Grant, did any of you think, as a twist, we all know Kevin Bacon's going to be bad. I take it just to make sure that we all knew that was the case here, yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I knew that, so it's got to be obvious.
I'm not going to comment on that. That sounds like a massive trap. But did you think that for a second that Taggart... True, though. Do you think that Taggart could have been dodgy as well as a twist?
No.
I thought they were going to. I thought they were going to really mix it up and take like an old beloved character and ruin him, which it would have ruined it, but I thought they were going to.
No, I think that's too risque for this particular franchise. Well, this reboot anyway, or remake. Mm.
I think it would have made it maybe a little bit more interesting, though, as opposed to, you knew what was going to happen in this film, so it would have been nice to have something that was like, oh my God, so surprising.
You're not wrong. However, you would have then lost the nostalgia of all them being together at the end, because he was on the other side. And that's apparently, according to this lot, this is what everyone wanted to see.
It would have been an interesting twist, wouldn't it? Because you've got the... And again, I know they can't win because you've got Taggart saying, yeah, Billy got really involved and he's got Janie all involved in this as well and he's really twisted. And I kind of thought, after all of the shit that they've been through, all of the times that Rosewood has said these things and everyone said he's wrong and it turns out he's right, why he turns his back on him now is just so tropey and it doesn't make sense. They're so fucking close. They've been through shitloads of things together. And I've kind of, that's what caught me, that maybe he's fucking like in on it as well, because surely he can't be that fucking stupid that he thinks that Rosewood is wrong and that he's twisted and lost the plot. That just didn't sit well for me.
No, it was quite weak, wasn't it? Because he said that obviously he trained Kevin Bacon's character, so he trusts him. And obviously Rosewood's thing got around saying that he's dirty and upsetting a lot of people because he's accusing one of his own. So he sort of stuck with the crowd rather than sticking with his mate because he knows he's obviously just off the wire, sort of the chain, so to speak. But yeah, you'd imagine being, you know, serving together 30 years or whatever, like they say, that he would have stuck with him. But there had to be a plot driver somewhere.
Yeah, it did. And I was glad in a way. I was kind of happy and I wasn't happy because... You end up thinking, fuck, it's such a fucking tropey storyline for them to do. But then, as you said earlier, it would have been weird if Billy was mental or Billy was innocent and Taggart was actually in on it, because Taggart was always a company man and never broke the rules. And I don't think that he would be someone who would turn. I think he'd just quite happily leave, knowing that shit was going on, and just not deal with it rather than join it. I think it wouldn't have fitted with his character.
Yeah.
But did we need so much kind of the back and forth between Axel Foley and his daughter? They haven't spoken for fucking years. Why are they going to suddenly make it up now within a car journey? I thought this was a poor attempt at a proper storyline and some... I think this needed some good acting and needed some time when they didn't really have that in this film to kind of build their relationship up again, did they?
it was quite strange because they almost ran it exactly the same sort of, or gave it the same sort of time as the main story.
Mm.
And in some instances, it's more about them than it is the actual what the film's supposed to be about. And it sort of loses itself a little bit because you're like, well, is this a father daughter making it up film, or is it an actual there's a crime?
Yeah, it was very much like when he went to the gallery and he met his old friend in Beverly Hills Cop 1, mm. and they went out and started doing investigations together. She's kind of replaced that female. And along the way, they're trying to build their father-daughter relationship, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they are. And it's all a bit weak, isn't it? I mean, I don't mind their acting, but it was just too much of it for me. Far too much.
Yeah, I didn't find their acting was a problem until we get to the first scene where they're kind of making their first inquiries when they go to the car lot where they find out that one of the cars did have a wire in it and it was bugged and taped or whatever. And they want to find that one. And they've got this stupid guy who's working behind the counter and he's got all of these pictures of these stars. And then Foley pretends to be a producer making a film. And this guy just falls for it straight away. I just thought, fuck, we've passed this. We do not need this, do we?
Hey, wait a minute. Are you an actor? I feel like I've seen you somewhere. I knew I said, what have I seen you in?
Probably Jupiter Ascending. I played Sargon number 4.
Yes, Sargon number 4. Of course, you were fantastic.
Wow, thank you.
Amazing stuff.
Thank you so much.
Such good work.
Well, you know, I got a lot of help from Channing.
Did you know?
Tatum.
So what's the story about?
Okay, so it's about this...
You were in it. You're the star. Let's hear you tell it.
Oh, you want me to tell? Yeah. It's Jupiter. It's Jupiter. And it's,
Ascending?
Oh, are you kidding me? The way it ascended?
And the worst thing about it was that he's there with his daughter trying to figure this out, and then she tries to take his legs as some sort of comedy thing. Why would you do that?
Yeah, because it's not a joke. It's a fucking murder case involving fucking Rosewood and her fucking client. And she's like, well, okay, you're trying to do this. Yeah, you're going to get the information, but I'm going to fucking do your legs halfway through and make it harder. It didn't make sense, Steve, did it, that someone would actually do this?
No, I picked up on this. It just, I know they were really trying to make it a comical scene, but... Yeah, why are you purposely trying to make this harder and ruin your dad's lead? I know she's obviously bitter, but it's a time and a place, and this really isn't it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a poor scene that just didn't work. But it does kind of lead them to finding the car. And again, when they find it, they pull out the vent and can just see that, yeah, something was in this and that someone's been videoed. And that is the key to find that USB. So that's what we're after. And then they find a tracking device. I can't work out why he thought that there might have been a tracking device under the car. Could you guys?
Well, only because she's obviously got the case, hasn't she, for the guy they're trying to frame for the murder. And I guess they think that she's not giving it up. So rather than killing her, they're going to track her.
But what made him want to look for one, you know? I just couldn't. Because he's fresh on the case, isn't he? It's not like she's like, yeah, these guys are fucking mercenaries. They use all the latest equipment with trackers and satellites and drones for him to check. It was just, yeah, I want to check under your car for a tracker. Oh, yeah, I got one.
Police officer's intuition.
Possibly he is actually that good. But he does put it on a bus and it does lead him to follow in that bus and those kids give him the bird, which I quite like that.
We all did it, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, I imagine that would have been you when you were catching the bus to school.
Oh, you were chauffeured, weren't you? So I suspect.
Yeah, exactly.
I was, yeah.
We do get the next clip. Again, it's the like father-daughter team when they go into the club after these two goons. And he pretends to be from the fire department. Fuck, this scene was just a waste.
Good evening. May I have your member number, sir?
Yes, my member number is LAFD Fire Marshal. 17484, and this is a surprise inspection. How's that fit you, Fancy Dan?
What did you say your name was? Because Chief Sullivan was here recently.
You know, if you keep up that attitude, I'll shut this whole place down right now.
You know what? Could I see your badge again?
No, actually you can't, because I don't know you, and a lot of badges have been getting snatched in this area, and I'm not going to take my badge out.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead snatch and call my badge Chief Sullivan.
You can go ahead and call Sullivan. I don't think he'd answer, though.
I'd rather them just snuck into the club rather than pretend to be from the fire department. It didn't work. There was no humour. The chemistry between them wasn't good enough to be able to do this yet. He's obviously comedy. She's the straight one. And it just doesn't work at the moment. I thought, please don't do this all the way through when it's every situational comedy side of things to get into something, because it's really going to be a fucking long 2 hours. It was just shite. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I can't disagree with you again, mate, to be honest. It was just shoehorning something in that didn't need to be there.
Yep.
I don't know why they do it. Yeah, you kind of think they've done it once already. They've just literally done it at the past scene for getting into the car lot. They've done it again. And I thought, even though everyone who knows Kevin Bacon knows that he's going to be a baddie at some point, I thought they really played their hand so early in this film. Bear in mind, we're at 45 minutes, 46 minutes, that they see Kevin Bacon at this party and he virtually plays his hand to being the baddie. It was way too early for me. They should have still left it that possibly Taggart is still the baddie, I thought. Do you think, El?
I would have said no. He didn't need to hide it, really, because you kind of knew from the first scene. So I don't think it would have added anything to it because it was so predictable. But I guess it might have made it a little bit more entertaining because you'd have been guessing who's it going to be, I guess. I don't know. No, I don't think they needed to because it was obvious. So I think they played it probably about right. The film only needed to be an hour and a half maximum.
Yeah.
We could have cut a whole lot out. So
I agree. But I do like the fact that they acknowledge the tiresome fucking jokes of when he goes into the Beverly Hills Hotel where he went in before and he starts to do an accent and he's like, no, do you know what? I'm too tired for this. And he just gets a room. That was really refreshing. And the film of about 50 minutes, I needed a bit of kind of acknowledgement that we've done so many jokes before. Did you guys?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's too much of a good thing, as they say, but this none of it was good, sadly.
Yeah, and I can't work out the next day of once he goes into the office of his daughter and he's got a suit on and he's the client. I didn't see the point of that. I didn't really understand the dynamics of that, Steve. Did you?
Until you had just mentioned it, I completely forgot about the scene because it is so forgettable. It didn't seem to lead anywhere. I'd completely forgot about the whole him being in a suit and her just ripping to pieces for it.
Yeah, I didn't know whether it was going to be a setup for a joke on a later day, because the next time he's just in a jacket and they're in a car just chatting together. It was a non-entity. I don't quite understand. Is this a setup for a voice or what? But what it does lead to reminded
it was because,
me. Of
sorry, it was because he promised that after they went to that place that he'd get on the plane and fucking go home. But he obviously didn't want to go home, so he then pretended to be someone else so he could see her again and convince her that they should work together. That was the whole point of that scene.
Someone's
paid
listening.
Attention.
Yeah.
It was
hard. This film was hard to pay attention.
No, definitely.
Top of the class. What do you think of the shootout when Foley is driving along with his daughter and he's being tailed by a detective, Bobby Abbott, and then you've got this kind of like fucking Mexican cartel who come, and it's very reminiscent of Heat. When they have that big old shootout in the street. I quite enjoyed this shootout. I mean, they would have died, Foley and his daughter. There's no way that they wouldn't have died when their car was sprayed of bullets. But it was a bit of action that was needed, that was definitely lacking when we're just kind of kissing the hour mark, wasn't it?
Was it really?
Oh, do explain then, guys. I needed this. I was fucking struggling.
John Kell, you can take the reins on this one.
I just think, like the rest of it, it was all over the top. Like you say, they would have died. All of them would have died. And I don't understand why, when you've got, I don't know how many bad guys against one or two cops, all the bad guys die, but none of the police. It wasn't needed. it wasn't funny. It didn't have any suspense. It was just a bit, nah, it didn't really do anything for me.
Yeah, I agree. But also, this lot are supposed to be a really clever drug fucking dealing, you know, smuggling group. Mm. And rather than just going, rather than just going to their homes or whatever in hotels, because I'm sure they would have been following them, they didn't just kill them there. They did a massive shootout in front of everybody, which is just completely bollocks. You just wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't.
No, yeah. You can't do that in this day and age, can you? And it even brings into question again when Foley is in the office with Taggart, and he says, and Taggart's kind of blaming Billy again. And he says, you were partner for 30 years. He said, oh, are you part of this shit that's going on? And he goes, oh, surely you can't be that blind and have your fucking head up your ass that you're missing the actual point here. And I was as frustrated as Foley was at the story, because when he's talking, as you mentioned earlier, he said, well, Grant was someone who I trained. He was my boot. I think, oh, for fuck's sake, seriously, you cannot be this fucking blind. You're experienced. You've been in God knows how many situations like this, and it just doesn't suit his character. And the fact that then he goes round and he turns to Levitt and he suspends him, and you think, oh, fucking hell, you really are just ticking these boxes of just being blind and stupid. And for me, I was, if I hadn't watched this for the podcast, I probably would have stopped watching it and broken it down into different bits, because I was getting a fucking up with the film.
Yeah, it's almost like he's got the chief of police job and just turned into a fucking idiot.
Yeah. I'd rather him just break the 4-4 and just look at the camera and go, Kevin Bacon, we all know he's bad.
Now, that would have been good.
Yeah, that would have really fucking cheered me up. And again, the padded out scene of when they go back to Jane's office and they're looking at properties and going through like the finance, because they do that in loads of films. If we can't find him kind of doing this, let's just go for his money, and money's going to lead us there. And they go to the house. And this scene of when they're... we obviously meet Serge, and Serge recreates a joke of Abbott when he... in one of, I can't remember what series it is now, but he tries to do the same thing with Apple. It's in a TV series, and he couldn't say the word.
Detective Abbott.
Oh, is what?
Detective Abbott.
Abbott.
Serge, did we need him in this film, guys? Or I would have been happy without him. I wouldn't have thought. Do you know it would have been better with Serge? I don't really care.
I don't think you needed any of this scene. I know it sets up, but I think he could have easily just jumped to Wool.
Yeah.
Simple.
The worst thing about this, Serge is one thing, and all right, I know it's for nostalgia, but the woman that shows around the house is the most annoying character ever. And
she would never be showing you around the house talking like that, ever. No,
exactly. It fucking pissed me off, this did.
Yeah. It's such lazy writing, and you kind of think, if you're going to reboot this series after this long, you'd really want to put... I mean this series, not just piss takey, but Top Gun, yeah? It's got... There's a lot of fans of Top Gun. There's a lot of fans of Beverly Hills Cop. I love Beverly Hills Cop. 1 and 2, when it's on TV, if it's at certain parts in it, I'll sit and watch those scenes because they're really enjoyable. I love the comedy. It's quick, it's sharp, it's really good. If you're going to have Beverly Hills Cop, why do they have scenes in this? Surely, retrospectively, even when they kind of write down, they do the casting, they're sitting around the table, you'd think, this is just making Foley look like a fucking idiot. This is making his daughter and everyone else in this look stupid. And it started to get slapstick comedy. These films were never like that, were they?
They were, though, weren't they? You did have this element of stupidity, but it was generally more Axel Foley that did it, because he used his intelligence to get into places and stuff all the time by playing different characters. It's just... And there was nothing really wrong with his daughter and Detective Bobby there either. It was just Serge and this woman just made it so unbearable to watch. And you're completely right. All they could have done is, oh, he lives at this house. I'll jump over the wall and have a look, like Steve said. And it would have made... But they've tried to make it funny, but it just completely fucking failed.
Yeah, and he does snoop, and he does get identified via that CCTV in the place. And it's kind of just have that. Yeah, that would have taken 2 minutes. That's all it really, really needed to take. And I would have been more than happy with that. And again, they try and put the jokes in when they go to see like the Mexican cartel, who is being, one of the guys is being represented by his daughter. It was a really weird fucking scene, wasn't it? You've got like the kingpin sitting there doing karaoke and everyone sitting around the table. It was done a really weird, again, padded out way, wasn't it, this scene?
It was crap. Yep. It was really bad.
Couldn't agree more.
It didn't lead to anything, did it? It didn't need, there was no payoff in this. It was just, they didn't even need to go and see him because he says, I'm representing, or my daughter's representing a member, or I think it was your cousin or whoever it is, and that we need certain evidence to get him out and we can help you. But as soon as they walk out, they're then arrested by Kevin Bacon's guys, and this guy's no longer in it. He doesn't even play a part in it again, does he? What was the point of this scene?
It's just pointing them towards the docks. That was it. All you got from this was go to the docks and you best hurry up because it ends tonight. The last shipment is tonight. And that is basically it. But all the bullshit, apparent comedy and suspense wasn't suspenseful. It wasn't funny and it wasn't needed.
No, because it only is kind of, as you rightly said, an aid towards where Rosewood is. And he's still being banded around to remind the audience, yeah, he is still part of this film. And he may come into it later on. But yeah, he's arrested. And later on, Taggart's told that he's arrested. But it's such a padded out scene. They don't need this arrest at all. They really don't. We've already worked out that Kevin Bacon is the baddie. At some point, it's going to be Kevin Bacon against Eddie Murphy. And there's going to be a showdown. We did not need this interview scene, which gave us fuck all. Because for me, the acting was absolutely shocking. There's no stakes at the moment. And it was just padded out. I want action. I want comedy. I want something a bit more original than what they're actually giving us. And it gave us absolutely fuck all. All it gives us is the next stage when they go to the docks. They could have just gone straight there, couldn't they?
Well, you've got the wonderful escape. They needed a link.
You need a what?
They needed a link somehow. They could have done it a lot better, but they did need a link.
The helicopter flight, when they escape from the being interviewed and being questioned. And this is Gordon Levitt's time to shine, saying he used to be a pilot. I really was not entertained at this, Steve. Why? You?
Why were you not entertained, Stuart?
I'd rather have a car chase than a helicopter chase on the ground. It gave me nothing. It led to nothing. It wasn't fun whatsoever. I didn't like the comedy between the back and forth between Eddie Murphy and James Gordon-Levitt. Two good actors, but I just weren't feeling their chemistry, you know?
No. No, we cannot do this. I can't do this. This is a bad idea. I think you'd be in a touch negative right now because men are trying to kill us, Bobby. And you're a helicopter pilot. And I'm pretty sure that's a fucking helicopter. Shall we? Fuck. What the fuck you have? Get your ass in the helicopter.
Come on, what are you doing? We got to move now. Yep. Shit, this ain't Spirit Airlines. Let's go. This shit's supposed to be like riding a bike. You're supposed to get right in there and know how to do this shit. You was trained. You can do this. Get going, man. We got to go.
Please just shut the fuck up. I'm trying to concentrate.
Oh, so it had nothing to do with the helicopter?
No, nothing to do with the helicopter. It didn't work for me.
Yeah, because obviously you're not a professional helicopter pilot, so you can't really comment on that side of things.
I've been in a helicopter, but I wasn't in it with a limitless pill that then allowed me to know how to fly.
Okay, so that's fine. Yeah, no, yeah, okay. We're just clearing things up because we don't want you commenting on things you don't like understand because that would just be unfair. But
such as what?
Helicopter flying.
What if I did know how to fly one?
Maybe you don't, do you?
No. You don't. No. I actually, strangely enough, I didn't mind their chemistry in this scene. I know it was fucking stupid because it was the most bullshit thing ever because that helicopter should have probably gone down a lot earlier because I'm a professional. But I quite enjoyed their to and fro, the back and forth between them.
Okay. Neil, what do you think then?
Bit of both, really. The it wasn't particularly funny. Like when he's going, "Oh, they're shooting at us!" It's like, well, what else are they going to do? You're flying off in a police helicopter at ground level. They're not just going to not do anything, are they? It was just nonsense. I think I appreciated if this was not CGI, and I haven't looked. The actual pilot skill was very good to be able to fly in this type of thing, but I'd imagine it's probably CGI'd, so I'm probably talking bollocks. But other than that, no, I thought it was absolutely pointless, really. And the fact that they land exactly where Taggart is as well, or try to land.
Yeah.
It's like, of course, they land right there, and then they have the stupid golf course scene.
Which that's the only good thing about that. It brings Shooter in from Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that is good.
Yeah. That bit was fun. That was a good add-in, Shooter, because he was such a cock in Happy Gilmore. But
and they're making a Happy Gilmore 2, aren't they, at the moment?
Of course they are.
Yeah. Surprise, I know, right? After all these years.
A reboot of a film that was made years ago. Shocking.
Original idea, eh?
Yeah.
I like Adam Sandler. I will not have any slander for Sandler.
Hey!
No, I like Adam Sandler. I really, really do. But I don't.
You don't. You bitch about him all the time.
Oh, you're on the pod.
Damn, suddenly someone's got an opinion.
I'm not the one that doesn't have them because I haven't done anything. That's you.
Oh, my God. You've been saving these. Have you been writing stuff down to say, like a list, and you're ticking them off?
No. Not that clever to do that.
Until next week now, giving you ideas.
Yeah.
But no, I don't mind Adam Sandler. It's just his films are very samey. If you're in the mood for them, they are good fun. I love Happy Gilmore. I think it's great. Yeah, I love Big Daddy. And what's that one about the devil? What was that called? Little Nicky. I love that as well.
But have you watched his two of his better films are films that are not him at all? Like Hustle. I don't know if you ever watched that. Fucking incredible. It's
really good. Yeah,
it's so good. Uncut Gems, again, not his usual. Great film. Those two films, 100% recommend.
Is Hustle the one where he's the agent or something?
Yeah, Basketball Scout.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I thought that was very good.
That's quality.
Yeah, he's really, really good in that. Yeah, I completely agree. But back onto this. They do rescue Billy. And it's hard to know whether Billy's been really badly beaten up or whether his face is just naturally fucked, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to differentiate between the two, sadly.
Yeah, you kind of think, is his lip swollen? Or I mean, is that good makeup? Or I feel sorry for him.
He reminded me of the character from that Adam Sandler film, actually, where he's the, with Jennifer Aniston, where he does the surgery on people. You know, the guy that they go to the party and he can't move his face.
That's harsh. We reviewed
that. What's that called?
Just go with it.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, he reminded me of him.
Yeah, he has got a fucked up face. He really, really has. And again, we are reliving another moment from a previous Beverly Hills Cop film where they're in a truck being chased and it's a massive shootout. I didn't really mind this. By now, I was used to the kind of the boxes being ticked and you just kind of need to go with it. I was a bit kind of pissed my eyes of Gordon Levitt being such a straight man when he said this is dangerous. The most dangerous thing is he hasn't got his seatbelt on. I like the Rosewood fucking mental case, just really enjoying getting into it because you have to in this because you've got no other fucking choice. It's been done again and again and again, but it wasn't too bad. I thought it was a good enough chase. Would it actually happen? No, it wouldn't happen in this day and age, would it?
No, and I have to disagree with Rosewood. I thought his acting was so bad, it ruined it.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Oh,
yeah. He was just so wooden. And maybe it's because his face is so fucked up. But it just annoyed me. It just felt like they'd found some bloke off the street and said, can you just come and sit here and pretend to be some crazy idiot? Because it just didn't work for me at all. I know what they were trying to do, but I just couldn't help but look at his face and how shit he was.
No, I get that. Maybe it's hard for him to kind of express himself, but we are kind of the countdown clock has started where Kevin Bacon rings up Eddie Murphy and says, bring me the SD card, bring me the truck you're in because it is full of drugs. Because by now he has got Jane Saunders, his daughter, kidnapped. So finally in this film, we've actually got stakes.
Jane, Hello, Axel.
Grant?
Yep.
Hey, where is she?
Jane? Oh, Jane. Jane's fine. You know, she's not making it easy on me. Hey, why don't you do me a big, fat, chubby favor and bring me that SD card and that truck before I do something that I might regret?
And he's got the Mexican cartel who's looking after his daughter. And they even bring Paul Reiser back into it at the end of it for some fucking reason. I don't know whether it's to show that he's leaving the police. Was he needed? I know he's just there to track his daughter, but we know where he's going to, or she's going to be. For me, it's like, this is just his final curtain call. It wasn't needed at all. Added out moment again, like many others, wasn't it?
Yeah, just a bit. Just a bit, mate.
It's just fucking, I get getting so annoyed. And again, he's got this, I did like the idea, he smashed into the police car, just like the other one when he's being chased by fuckloads of police. I mean, they'd have helicopters, stingers, they'd have everything after him. This really wouldn't work. But he does it to be chased, to bring the police to help them. And then he smashes into so many of them, none of them are following him anyway, are they?
No, because the copy originally hits, knocks his door off, then tries to get him his way stupidly and causes a massive pileup.
Yeah, and so, that copper would have died because it was full on accident.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With no door. So he would have been absolutely fucked. And he smashes the truck through the actual front of the house. And then we get a massive shootout. And we're joined by the only police officer who hasn't fucking crashed his car. We're joined by Chief John Taggart himself. And again, they go through lots of boxes that they tick. And again, because I'm old. Yes, I am old. That they have the scene when they recreate where you've got Rosewood and Taggart laying down on the floor and Rosewood stands up and he tells everyone to freeze and he's got his badge. That just brought a smile for personal reasons myself for that scene. I thought that was quite good.
Not for me.
Now, Steve, are you having fun at this point in the film? Or are you just like, please end?
Yeah, I was. It was very reminiscent of 80s, 90s shootouts where everyone's kind of hip firing and no one's getting hit except the good guys. But yeah, when Rosewood popped up with the badge and had his little crazy moment, I might have smirked.
I did. I just thought I needed something like that because I like the chemistry between them both. But the way his daughter is in the room and they do have that scene where, and you know it's going to be a callback of when she says to him, no, I don't still know how to get a handcuffs. I still can't shoot people. The training you gave me when I was younger, I'm not interested in that. I'm not that kind of person. You know for a fact that is coming into play later on, Kells. They may as well just look again, break the fourth wall.
Yeah, and you know she's just sitting there waiting for her opportunity to do all of that stuff. That's why she sat there quite calmly, quite patiently. There's no panic, there's no stress, because she doesn't know her dad. So she can't exactly have, or she has confidence in him. It's surely false because she doesn't actually know him. She can't trust him.
But she does say to Kevin Bacon, though, you started something. My dad, one thing I do know is that he's really focused, that he doesn't let go once he's fucking got his claws into something. So she does have that conversation, doesn't she?
Yeah, I guess. But I just don't. I think if he's left you before, why would you have loads of confidence that he's not, that he's going to do what you think he's going to do this time? I know it's slightly different circumstances, but I just don't know that I would be that blindly trusting.
Neil, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, it was just so fucking bullshit, in my opinion. Sorry, it was boring. It was Kelly was right at the beginning. It's predictable. It's so fucking predictable, and it was very much following the 80s action film thing, which is the whole point of nostalgia, I guess. However, it doesn't really work anymore, and you knew exactly what was going to happen. So I didn't find any of this tense whatsoever. No. I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And everything. You knew that she was going to escape and be part of it and everything, and there was going to be some sort of oh my god moment.
I'm right with you there, mate. Yeah, and you knew at the end of it that oh my god, is this going to be the last one? Is he actually going to die? You're just sitting there thinking, right, when's he going to save her?
Exactly right. And like I said earlier, the stuff between Taggart and what's his face, just yes, it's reminiscent and what have you, but it just doesn't work anymore. They're so old. It doesn't. it just looked quite sad, really. The whole scene was quite sad.
I've got little special kind of personal moments why I like that, but I completely agree. It was I think a lot of the choices in this film were really fucking strange. And it was really predictable that Kevin Bacon's there, Foley jumps, and he takes a bullet for his daughter. Yeah. The only thing I did like was that when you think, fuck, she's going to die, Jane is actually going to get shot. Of course, we know she's never. That Bobby runs in, James Gordon-Levitt, and actually puts a bullet straight in his head, ends it there and then, rather than the traditional loads in a body. Maybe he's alive, maybe he's not. But it's complete endgame. That is it. I like the fact that it is finite, because it was really, really predictable. But the rest of the film, you know, it's just going to pan out. Their relationship's going to build, and they're going to grow closer because of this. And I was really just waiting for the moment we did get at the end of the film, where the three of them, like the three amigos, Rosewood, Taggart, and Foley, are back together again in the back of the car, which was, I liked that scene because it was reminiscent of the first one. It didn't work. It wasn't funny. But I liked them being together, the way it kind of was the final curtain call. Plus, I knew it was the end of the fucking film as well, which is why I was on a bit of a high. But I thought it needed to end like that. It was a good ending, but it was a tropey, predictable ending, wasn't it?
Oh, you two are the worst fucking surveillance team that ever lived.
Holy shit. It's only been a week. You're supposed to be resting in the goddamn hospital.
Yeah, no, and y'all supposed to be out here watching to make sure I don't get the hell out of here, right? Jane put y'all up to this, didn't she?
We're worried about you.
Well, don't be worried about me. I'm fine. I just had to get from up there for a second, man. Look, up there is nothing but a bunch of old, sick people. Everybody's hacking and coughing and moaning and groaning and shit. You would fit in perfect up here, Taggart.
Hey, leave me out of this, all right?
Hey, look, man, I just want to go get a steak.
That had to end that way.
It did. And I was pleased it did end, funnily enough. And it was a nice kind of nod to, they started off with these three. I like these three. And this is the way it's finished. And I don't think half of them will be alive, to be honest, when I actually come up with another script. But that is the end of Beverly Hills Cop Axel F. And I'm pleased to say that's it. Kels, you did the intro, so you can be the first. What's your opinions? Would you recommend this? How would you score this?
I would not recommend this unless you enjoy watching paint dry, because I found it quite dull, quite predictable. The jokes weren't funny. You don't really have much of a story to it. You're not invested in it. Some parts are very rigid acting. I just generally found it a bit rubbish.
Wow. Scathing. Scores.
Oh, scores. I'm going to go with a 1 out of 5.
Fair enough. Creamy Steve.
Yep. I'm going to agree with Kel. Give it a 1 out of 5. Would not recommend it. I think it's just a bit of nostalgia that really kind of tick the boxes, but other than that, it's dated. It's predictable and dated.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Neil?
When I first watched it, I kind of enjoyed it, but I think I was looking at it through rose-tinted glasses, and then I watched it again, obviously, to be thorough, and I found that I really didn't enjoy it, because I was picking up on the things that I'd missed the first time because my rose-tinted glasses weren't on anymore. And it's very much an 80s / 90s film, where it's all action, not a lot of story, unbelievable, ridiculous scenes. And the only bit that they didn't get in there was the comedy, because that was the whole point of Beverly Hills Cops. It was funny along with the action, but there was no comedy in this at all. It was just shoehorned and forced, and they're trying to be exactly the same. It just didn't work at all. And it's a real shame, really, that yet again they've tried to recreate a film or bring out another one so long after, and it's just fallen on its ass. So yeah, I couldn't really recommend it, to be honest. And yeah, I'd probably go along the same 1 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm just going to echo everything you guys said. I can only take the nostalgia to so far, and after that, you're left with nothing. If there's no story, then there's nothing to kind of grip onto. And this really, really suffered. I don't think I'd ever watch this film again. Unlike the other ones, I'd quite happily watch. But this one, I will never watch again. It's bye-bye forever. And I'd only give it a one. And yeah, it scored really, really low. And I mean, that's pretty good, really, because I would have been really surprised if someone would have smashed a four out and gone, I can see something that you guys can't. And
That'd be a hard push, wouldn't it, Christ?
Yeah, it would be fucking, like, you'd have to be on some kind of chemical, wouldn't you, say that?
It's like saying that John Wick 4 is good.
There are people out there that say that, though.
I know, but it's so strange. There is
one person, just one person.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, I think you're right, actually.
John Wick 4 is a fucking great film.
There he is.
This is the point. This is why I struggle to take your opinion seriously at the end of each episode. Because when you say things like that, I'm like, no, this man's clearly old and senile. So I always have to take with a pinch of salt.
You love my recommendations of films.
God, yeah, honestly, can't get enough.
That might be your recommendation we're going to do next week, so...
Do you know what? If you want me to pour another Whopper out, I will.
Oh, what, another Battleships? And then you won't turn up for it.
Exactly.
I've just checked my calendar. I am there next week. I am there. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with Battleships. We forgot to mention, in this fucking thing we've just done, there is a random explosion that seems to come out of nowhere when a car crashes into something. At least in Battleship, the explosions are for explosion's sake. They actually happen because there are explosions.
This film was like Battleship, there was no story and it was predictable.
No.
And it was just shit.
Yeah. Oh, shut up, Bride of Chucky or whatever it was. Cult of Chucky.
If you're going to get criticised me, you've got to get it right. Come on.
Oh my God, do you use that line in most pods when we get things right or wrong?
Yeah, but you don't get it right. That's the whole point. Get it right. I don't mind then.
Oh dear.
Amazing. Well, that is it for this week. I've got a feeling we're going to let Steve put his money where his mouth is again and choose a film that we can review next week. And we can just see what good taste that he's got. So, exactly. If you're up for that, join us again next week. Thanks again, everyone, for your support. We'll continue doing these wonderful reviews all the way through the year. They cost fuck all. No shitty sponsoring about I wear these pants and they're really great, or I shave my pubes with these razor and it's fucking amazing. We don't do any of that, do we?
Only because they won't sponsor us.
That's not the point, Neil.
You would if you could.
Exactly.
I still wish Flumps would. Flumps would be my favourite one.
You contact Flumps then, Steve. Go on. See if they're really nice, you know, family orientated cereal will sponsor our podcast.
I don't know what you are implying about this podcast.
Really?
Kelly, you've been eating Flumps every day this week, haven't you?
I have had a Flump most days this week, yes.
And
I've just lived off of them.
Exactly. And
I have got Flump cereal with me ready.
Do you want to share how you were eating the Flump today?
Really?
If you work for Flumps, turn off the pod now.
Oh, you might not want. You might want to listen to it.
I was eating them in a very unique way, probably.
I need to know how.
Shoving it right down the back of my throat to see how far I could get it.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Right, we'll see you next week.
Exactly. Where we probably will be sponsored by Flumps.
I've never had a Flump. I don't even know what I know what it is, but I've never actually seen.
Never had a Flump? You even have children.
I only recently had one as well, Neil, and I don't.
Is it after she deep throated it?
Oh God, no! It was when Steve mentioned ages ago, and I didn't know what think Flump that. Was. I thought it was like I thought it was like a semi or something. When Steve went, I love a Flump, but they're not nice at all.
They are the spiral-based sweet treat that everyone loves to enjoy.
No, they're not. You
they're marshmallow, aren't they?
Yeah.
No.
Sometimes I like to try and eat it blindfold. I like to hang it from the ceiling and blindfold myself and try and go...
Okay.
The sound effects were so good, I can imagine you. You just took me right to that room.
Yeah, I was there, to be fair.
There's room for two more. Yeah. I've changed my age limits. You boys get here now.
Is that the best way to eat a flump, is it?
Well, as long as it's a flump you're hanging above me, that's, we're good to go.
Well, you're blindfolded, mate, so you're going to only be able to tell by texture. And...
by then it's too late. I've committed. Yeah.
Once the balls are resting in your fucking eye sockets, we know, won't you?
It's a new flavour.
Amazing.
The flumps are ooze.
Oh, wow. And if anybody is still listening to this podcast, you really are a loyal fan, and we are very grateful. But you're as twisted as fucking we are. But thank you anyway. We'll be back, sponsored by Flumps. And Steve's choice of film. Everyone, take care. Thanks very much.
All the movie clips and music used in this podcast are the intellectual property rights of the respective copyright holder and used to only enhance your listening experience. And any infringement caused is unintended. Well, that's it now, and we will see you next week.